Welcome everybody to the Commissioner, Board of Commissioners meeting for August 5th. And Mr. Wesson, would you like to give us pledge allegiance and also invocation, sir?
I would, thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and eternal God, Lord, we bow our heads in humble submission to your will. Father, we thank you for all of your many blessings. Father, we ask a special blessing, Lord God, on the victims and the families of El Paso and Dayton. Lord God, be with those families. Such a tragedy, Lord God, and you know, we all need to understand that there's no place for bigotry and malice in this country. We're all your children, Lord God, and we need to learn to be more like you. So Father, bless us, keep us, bless those families. And Lord God, as elected officials, let us try to mirror the kind of example that we want to set. To do the will and the business of the citizens of this county. And Lord God, I ask that everything we do might be pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Father, again for all of your blessings. Forgive us for our sins and transgressions, and be with us, Lord, as we go forward. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. First thing on the agenda is going to be a comprehensive recreation plan. Mr. Dave Hodges.
3 minute public comment?
I'm sorry. 3 minute public comments. Anybody got a 3 minute public comment? Okay, that's the reason I skipped it and went straight to Dave. Dave Hodges, can you come on up?
Come on, chair.
You can leave the chair. Leave the chair there. Leave the chair there. We do have security here in case you try to throw a chair.
That's all my money.
All right, you got it.
It's good to be here for you, Mr. Chairman, and all commissioners, Scott, and everybody else. Normally, Dr. Paige Beeren would be before you, so I apologize for me instead, but Paige and I worked really hard, and a lot of other people, for this comprehensive recreation plan. And as I look around the room tonight, and I see the great pictures of the tall glass of water project we have, this, along with a lot of other things this plan does, it helps you when you move forward to go and develop those new recreation projects. So even though the plan itself is finally come to fruition, it's just really the start of what your recreation projects may be in the near future. So this is Hall Press. I'm not sure if you've had a whole lot of time to look at it. It's about half, it's split in half, with the first half is kind of the meat of the plan, kind of gives a good history of what you have in your recreation, perhaps your future needs. And the appendices shows the work that y'all have been doing over the period of the last 10 years to get to this project. And this is about a 10-year plan, takes you into the future. Remember we took a trip to Currituck County, and that's talked about in here too. And this is, so it's a good footprint for what you have going on here in the county for recreation needs. Just glad that we can come before you today, and should be the final copy. Any action on your part, I'm going to let Mr. Scott.
Okay, well, we just got it today.
Yeah, the board saw a preview draft back in early January, I believe it was, but this is the final publication. And again, it was a very extensive team effort. And of course, we had the minor interruption with Tropical Storm Julian and Hurricane Matthew. But,
and page 10 of the project shows a lot of people that have been involved in bringing this to this closure.
But we will have this available electronically too on our website.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Dave?
Scott, can we also ask for comments back too when we put it on the site back from?
Sure.
Any questions? If not, thank you very much.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it. And like I said, when it comes time to do your funding for your new projects, this is the main piece of project information.
Mm-hmm. Well,
good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.
Thank you. 4-H agent Guy Holly. Holly, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well.
Great.
How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
Great. Well, good evening, County Commissioners and people in the audience. I would like to, for this year, for the NCAAC Youth Voice, I'd like to introduce a 4-H'er who has grown up in Murphy County 4-H. I met Ms. Taylor Cotton back in December 2012, and in that initial meeting, I recognized she had a creative mind, a drive to succeed, and a heart to serve. In my short time of working with Ms. Cotton, I realized she actually began to rise to the top in leadership amongst her peers. She actually right now serves on our Healthy Living programming, where she has worked to serve roughly about 60 kids here, teaching them healthy living, healthy cooking, and that will actually expand to other things in healthy living, the mental and physical aspects as well, and social as well too. And also she'll be serving on our team council starting this fall, and she's also an academic and athletic all-star. So without further ado, Ms. Taylor Cotton.
Good evening.
He gave me just a great thing to write about. So, what 4-H means to me, 4-H is more than just trips, activities to do, or just something to do. 4-H is my time to actually help the world, meaning not just tanking, but actually giving back to the community. Volunteering, having a connection, and meeting kids of all ages with different cultural backgrounds. It gives me an opportunity to get out of my comfort and try new things that I'm not able to do in my county. But also meeting friends, trying things, and broadening my spectrum to more than just what's around me, but to be aware of others as well. This summer, I was one of few participants who were selected from our Healthy Living training this summer to actually compete and take over first place and also receive a chef cook and other small tokens. 4-H has allowed me to educate the youth to give insights on not just nutrition, but other career pathways in the agriculture and STEM pathway. I can go on and on, but 4-H is far more greater than after school or serving events to me. 4-H has opened up doors and given you countless of opportunities that I'm so grateful for. That's just a sum of 4-H to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. And some people may not know, but Ms. Cotton is not only great academically, but she's a very great interpretive dancer too. She's outstanding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is
experience in the Department of Emergency Management from one of our very own who was a college student. And so at this time I'd like to ask Ashley Moorings if she would come forward and tell us a little bit about yourself, your aspirations, and the actual experience that you had here doing your internship in the Department of Emergency Management.
Well, good evening everyone. I'm Ashley Moorings, like Mr. Vaughn said. I'm a senior at Elizabeth City State University. I graduated in December with a degree in emergency management. And like Mr. Vaughn said, I did have the opportunity to be with them for 2 weeks, him and Mr. Mitchell Cooper. During that time, I listed a few things that we did. We discussed Code Orange at Berkeley High School. We looked over emergency operations plans and saw what needed to be improved as far as for Berkeley County. We met with local and state resources and officials to discuss debris cleanup and other areas of improvement during disasters for Berkeley County. We helped write weather updates and we did a vulnerability survey just to see who was vulnerable in Berkeley County as far as who may need assistance, oxygen, to be transported out during an emergency. We also went over past storms that hit Berkeley County and discussed how we can make better decisions for the people who live here and for people who don't want to evacuate. Again, it was a great experience. I met so many great faces, like Mr. Sawyer right here, and it really prepared me for the field of emergency management. I'm so happy that I got the opportunity to do it right here in Berkeley County. So I just wanted to say thank you, and that's my experience, what I had. Such a great one.
Yes. Thank you.
I also want to add that we shared with Ashley that if, as a part of her requirement in Elizabeth City, if she has to do an internship or some type of senior project to, you know, fulfill your requirements, we'll be more than happy to do that. And it just means so much that we could be a part of, you know, being a part of laying that foundation to help her get her career started. And so Ms. Mitch Cooper, Emergency Management Director, has also informed her that after graduation, if she, you know, plans to go beyond the Berkeley County lines, he has some contacts that he can provide for her as well. So that's one of the all to that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The reappointment of Tax Administrator, Mr. Tony Gray, Manager.
Mr. Chairman, in keeping with the general statutes for Section 105 and the Machinery Act, each either 4 or 2 years, the Board of Commissioners sitting in the governing body for Berkeley County needs to appoint a tax assessor. And we are coming up on the anniversary of Mr. Jody Ray's initial appointment. And I'd like to recommend wholeheartedly that the board consider another 4-year appointment for Mr. Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Ray.
And we have Clerk of Court, Ms. Vasti James, here to administer the oath of office once y'all vote to take action.
I'd like to make the motion and strongly recommend that we approve the reappointment of Mr. Jody Ray for 4 additional years as our tax administrator.
Second.
I don't think there's any discussion. 97.7% is excellent. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Sir.
How many of these do you need?
I have 3.
You need 5. Constitution and laws of North Carolina, not inconsistent therewith, and that you would not allow any actions as tax assessor and tax collector to be influenced by personal or professional political friendship or obligation, and that you would faithfully discharge the duties of your office as tax assessor and tax collector. So here we go.
You said 3.
Yes.
Four.
Please stop.
I have one thing to say. Congratulations, Clarence Joe Ray.
Thank you.
You took the word I didn't know that. Moving on. 2020 revaluation projects update by Mr. Piner. Dare he show his face in this room.
Shame on me.
Thank you for coming today,
Gary. I'm sorry?
Thank you for coming today.
Absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity to give you an update on 2020 revaluation. We recently completed the field review. So we continue to work on the final valuation process here in the office. We should be concluding that probably within the next 3 months. We'll also be presenting you with scheduled values next month, I believe September 16th. This is the nuts and bolts of the valuation process. We'll get into more of that as we move along with you guys. And that's about it. If you have any questions as to where we are right now or what's coming up, I'll try to give you answers.
As far as being with people out in the field, as far as our residents and things of that nature, has it been a good experience? People have been receptive? And
some people have had some questions. We answer the questions and they're okay with it. No bad experiences, fortunately.
That's good. I don't want to pull a gun on you.
Excuse me, how far along would you say you are?
Well, we'll probably finish up the final valuation process here at the office within the next 3 months, maybe sooner.
But as far as out in the field?
Oh, we're done with that.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't gotten any phone calls, so y'all must be doing a good job explaining.
Yeah, came out there when you were there.
But you plan to have the values and discussion around the values set by September the 16th, right?
Well, the value, we will not have the values set, the complete values, right. But the schedule of values will be presented. That's the process.
Right. Can you walk us through that calendar?
I'm sorry?
Can you walk us through that calendar? We have the public hearing on the 16th?
The public hearing is the 16th. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Is that going to be a daytime public hearing?
No, that would be nighttime, I think.
We tried to do these dates to correspond with the existing schedule. Y'all already had scheduled right now. So that's subject to change. However, some of these dates, by statute, we have certain time frames we have to do this. So we kind of staggered it to where we meet those guidelines. The scheduled values, as Gary said, it's not going to tell you what your value is. It's explaining how we are going to value certain types of property. That has to be submitted to the board. It's open for inspection. We have to run an ad for a public hearing. On October the 7th, we have it scheduled for you to adopt the schedule.
What was the date in September?
16th was the date that's going to be submitted.
And the public hearing's on the 3rd.
And the public hearing for September the 30th.
Okay. We have a work session on the 16th.
Yeah, we'll do that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
The adoption on October the 7th. And then we have to run an ad for 4 weeks. And November 6th will be the last day to challenge the schedule. Again, this has nothing to do with your actual values of your property. It's just the manual we're going to use to adopt your actual value.
Yeah, like I say, it's basically the nuts and bolts of the valuation process. 16th, submit it, and then the following day, it'll be made available to the public for any inspection that the public might do.
And what was the date in October?
The
7th.
November the 6th. Last date.
regular meeting.
Yeah, we tried to put those up there during the regular meeting.
Thanks for bringing that up, Richard.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions, Mr. Pine?
No.
Do you have anything you need to say? Anything else?
Leave that alone. That's what we have for now, anyway.
Okay. Mr. Bray, you good?
We're good.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Board appointments. Tri-County Airport Authority.
First up, Mr. Steve Biggs. And I need to make a clarification. We had listed on the current members unexpired Mr. L.C. Hoggard. That seat had been filled with Mr. Kenny Perry. So we need to reappoint Mr. Biggs.
I'll make a motion we appoint Steve Biggs for another term.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye. Doing a great job.
Region Q Workforce Development Board.
Mr. Michael Freeman is eligible. Mr. Michael Freeman is no longer eligible. So we have an opening there. And I need to mention for the governing body's attention, Dr. Catherine Edmonds had been serving on the Workforce Development Board. And with her transition and the incoming superintendent, Dr. Rivas Smallwood, I think it would behoove us to approach him to see if he would be willing to serve in that capacity. It would really be a key role. Okay. So, and hopefully we have him scheduled for your next regular meeting in September.
But we still would have one additional opening?
Yes, yes. That's
any
correct.
Applicants?
None.
Do we still have to have some of the union or something like that?
Well, that's what we've been doing with the superintendent. We call that our public sector role. Okay. It's not really unionized, but since they do have the Teachers Association, they have kind of qualified that.
So the other application that can be filled could be anybody?
Yes.
Board. Okay. All right. We done with that?
Yes, sir.
Good? Okay. Consent agenda. We'll drop down here a few. Approval minutes for a regular meeting, July 1st, 2019. Approval of minutes for a work session, July 1st, 2019. Register of deeds, fees report, July 2019. Approval of tax collection order, 2019-20. And budget amendments. Do you have a motion?
Move to approve, Mr. Chairman, 1 through 5.
Okay, can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, closeout. Contract amendment for Jeff Best for CPA as far as doing our audits and things of that nature. Mr. Manager, you gave us new paperwork in reference to that?
Yes, we have asked you to consider the alternative contract report. We have inadvertently included the wrong document. And this is simply a change in the date for the closeout of his contract. There's no additional funding for this work.
Okay. And that's all we need to do? We don't need to do any letters anymore. We're done with it, right? Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I'm going to move on down. Home and Community Care Block Grant, HBCCBG 2019-2020. Mr. Manager.
That's in concurrence with your budget that's already been approved. That's an annual approval.
Okay. I have a motion for number 6 and number 7.
So moved.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Work authorization number 5, North Carolina DRA, Project Hurricane Matthew Disaster, Holland Consulting Planner. So I think you advise Chris will be at our next meeting.
Yes, and this is just to continue that work, so I would ask that you consider approval for this.
Okay. We're just going to move forward from there without a motion on that.
No, I'd like to have a motion.
Okay.
For that.
Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Discussion Agenda D, Teacher Housing Project Update. Mr. Biggs, do you have anything, or Mr. Watson?
Well, I was going to suggest, because we've had correspondence from the Golden Leaf Foundation, you know, while we are still waiting for some action and approval from the North Carolina General Assembly, the time clock is running short. on the grant that the county secured, the $240,000, and we received email correspondence from Casey Ginsburg last week that we have till the end of September, and then those monies are no longer available.
And one also quick note, we've had some recent discussion, as Scott and Steve know, with some additional legislative leaders who are part of the Rules Committee. This motion has passed the House. It is now, we have that same identical bill, House Bill 375, in the Senate. And we're looking to get that bill moved to the floor for a vote. The chairman of the committee has said that if it comes to the floor, he's confident that it will pass. However, it has not moved out of that committee. So I had some discussions with two, again, legislative leaders who on tomorrow, in addition to our own Senate representative, will be having a discussion with Mr. Rabin, the head of the Senate and the head of this committee, about why we need to move this bill to the floor for a vote and the urgency of this for Bertie County. We're not asking for money. We're not asking them to do anything that they haven't done six times already in history to allow us to build teacher housing. So for this to be hung up in this Senate committee and not put on the floor for a vote is a travesty. And we need that to go to the floor, and we need to be given the same kind of authority that six other counties have been given. Why it hasn't been done, I can't tell you. We've been fighting this battle for almost 2 years now. So it's time, and if we don't move quickly, we may lose this. That's where we are. Steve?
I agree 100%. We have worked this, as a matter of fact, Representative Goodwin's legislative assistant was on the phone with me last Thursday while y'all were off wind, and he was talking with the attorney over in Senator Rabin's office also, trying to help her get through what they got through on the House side. So. I do know Julie has called me, I don't know, 8 to 10 times, which is the attorney. So I know they're working on it. It's just going very slow.
Would it be worthwhile for us to use a county band or whatever and a couple of the educators up their board and our board take a trip there to show that we are really truly concerned and we need this here and a couple of teachers, because we haven't did that yet. That's the only thing we haven't done was went there ourselves. So I don't see where it would hurt.
Personally, I'm up for anything that might get some attention. We've sent letters to every member of the committee. We've had discussions with many of them. We can't get a logical explanation of why this is not moving. I'm up for whatever the board thinks could make a difference. I would suggest, though, that we might, you know, we don't want to shoot ourselves, but we know that there's going to be discussion tomorrow. If that discussion is not productive, if it is not productive tomorrow, I think we need to do something.
Okay. Then we'll just hold off until we find out the information tomorrow, see what happens, and then we'll go from there. How's that?
We got a deadline now with the loss of that money from Golden Leaf. We cannot. We need to let them know.
September
30th. Mr. Chairman, if I could, I would recommend that you make a firm appointment, though, before you just go.
Well, I was going to suggest that.
They're the very best at playing hide and seek.
Okay.
You're the better than your old granddaughter, I
promise. Keen police training may come up then. I've tracked people down before. All right. Library Cross Extension Project update.
Just briefly, for the benefit of the audience, the board approved a $3.8 million construction project last meeting. The architect has conducted the pre-construction meeting with A.R. Chesson, and the notice to proceed has been issued, and now the clock starts 420 calendar days to get it done.
Just as a reminder, that's Golden Leaf money. That's not tax dollars.
All grant.
Yeah, all grant money.
Opioid lawsuit update by Assistant County Attorney Jonathan Hoser.
Yes, sir. As you know, we have North Carolina Legal Counsel on this and also National Counsel. The North Carolina Council has informed me that the lawsuit has been filed. National Council is then going to transfer it into the MDL, the multi-district litigation that's out of Ohio. The next step is going to be an information sheet that we're going to need to fill out using information from from our sheriff's office, finance, health department, to get some more information for discovery in the case. So it's progressing as it's progressing on. So nothing else to report other than everything that's supposed to be happening at this point is happening.
Okay, Mr. Manager, discuss proposed 2020 meeting schedule for the Board of Commissioners and the state holidays schedule.
I want to point out for the board's attention on your meeting schedule, we are set up for one meeting per month, as we've been doing the last couple of years, when the board transitioned from its effort to take a meeting in the middle of the month out into the various outlying communities and municipalities. And I wanted to raise that for discussion to see if there was an interest in considering reactivating that before you consider adopting this officially. We're not under the gun for a deadline, but I know that had been an extremely successful approach. And with the revaluation coming up in 2020, it might behoove the board to have those meetings where citizens have a much easier accessibility to talk with you.
It's a pleasure to the board.
Personally, I would love us to consider doing that again. I mean, some of the most well-attended meetings we have ever had have been those out in the field, where local citizens get to talk about some of their local issues in their community as opposed to the countywide stuff. If there's any way that we can get that back into our schedule, I wouldn't want to miss that opportunity.
We can retool this and have it back for you next month. I just really thought it was important before you solidify this to maybe talk about that.
I'm fine with it.
The September meeting is a holiday. I do believe
I'll
look at it.
Okay.
Well, we retool that schedule.
Yes, sir.
Work that out.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yes, sir. I'm fine with it. I'm always fine with it. What's there about us, though?
Anything.
You like it? You good? You good? Okay. All right. You're going to need a group tool, though, sir.
Yes, sir. We'll bring it back to you next time.
Elizabeth Dole Foundation Dinner Hidden Heroes Campaign. Mr. Manager.
I'm going to defer to Commissioner Lee. This was an initiative.
Thank you. I serve on the NACO, National Association of Counties, Veterans and Military Services Committee, and I do that. It's just a passion of mine, and so I love going to those meetings, but this past month, when we were in Clark County, Nevada, I got an invite to attend a dinner with the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. And they introduced to us at that dinner the Hidden Heroes program that they do. And so I brought that back and shared some information with the county manager, and I shared it with Ms. Clark. She also got an email from...
She got an email from the Elizabeth Dole Foundation
today. And so I bring this back to the county as another way of us helping our veterans. We owe them a lot. And the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, the Hidden Heroes, is all about the caregivers of those veterans. And if you, sitting in dinner that night, we heard stories of those caregivers and what they have to go through. Very touching. And I believe we have some citizens right here in Berkeley County that are going through some of the same things. And there's help out there through the Veterans Administration, but it's not local help. And so there's a resolution in your packet that will get the ball started. It won't cost us a thing. It might entail Ms. Park doing a few more things within her schedule. But there'll be, it'll be local help for our veterans and their caregivers. So there's a great video and Mr. Bones.
In 2011, at the World War II Memorial, we realized that Bob was having some serious health symptoms and rushed him up to Walter Reed. He was there, hospitalized for 11 months. All around us, there were wounded, ill, injured warriors. Their caregivers were young spouses, the mothers, the dads, the siblings as well. Over those 11 months, we got to know many of them very well. And they were scared. They were really worried. What's going to happen when we leave the hospital? When we're back home, we're alone. They realize they were not trained as caregivers. They are not supported. I have been given a mission. You know, you've seen it. Go do something about it. Wake up, America. Our nation's leaders must stand with America's military caregivers. Thank you. I realized we needed evidence-based research. And so I commissioned the RAND Corporation. They did a two-year study and told us there are 5.5 million military and veteran caregivers, providing about $14 billion a year as an unpaid workforce.
My father got severely injured in Afghanistan. I was just learning how to take care of myself. Now I'm responsible for a grown adult.
On the days where my husband's having seizures, I'm of course hands-on. I have to administer medication when he's unconscious. I'm a driver, I'm a cook, I am the bill payer, all of those things, and I'm a mom. I'm a mom and John's wife. As a caregiver, you feel like you are literally carrying a 210-pound man through the days emotionally.
Being in a room with caregivers reminds me of how they taught you to be relentless in the military.
He did his part, and now it's my turn to take over for him.
Our research tells us that a strong, well-supported caregiver is the number one way to contribute to the health and recovery of a veteran. We've built a coalition of 300-plus national, local, and regional organizations. We've vastly expanded VA services and support for caregivers.
We have more than 150 caregiver fellows representing all the 50 states and Puerto Rico. We make appointments for them on Capitol Hill with their congressmen and senators and their staffs, and they storm the Hill and they tell their story directly. And they're a great help in terms of getting legislation passed.
I am one voice among many who need consistent and compassionate help as we carry this heavy responsibility caring for our veteran.
We decided to launch the Hidden Heroes campaign to raise awareness of the enormous contributions and challenges of these caregivers.
America, these are your hidden heroes. There are millions more.
We've recruited 120 cities, and we're still going across the country to mobilize, educate, and build awareness in home communities for caregivers. We've empowered countless caregivers to be a voice for themselves.
The Elizabeth Dole Foundation has put a face and a name to those who are caring for our wounded, ill, and injured service members. I know I'm not alone. It's a powerful, powerful thing.
The foundation definitely empowered me. I feel like I'm stronger than ever. Kind of like Wonder Woman.
Because of the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, when people think of veterans now, many think of caregivers. How deep is the ocean or how high is the sky? That's how proud I am of my wife, Elizabeth.
The foundation's legacy will be a shift in culture. An America where caregivers are empowered, they're appreciated, they're listened to. An America where caregivers are really woven into the very fabric of our nation's appreciation for the military. That's what I want the legacy to be.
Our veterans may not be walking around without limbs, but if they've served time overseas and in war, they have a disability. It's called PSTD. And those spouses or those siblings or those parents are having to take care of them with virtually no support system. That's what this is all about. So there's a resolution in your packet. Hopefully y'all have read it. And I'd like to make a motion that Bertie County become a Hidden Heroes community. We join Fayetteville and Raleigh and Winston-Salem, I believe, Charlotte. They're all already Hidden Heroes.
We have a motion on the floor. We have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Ms. Luke. Very inspirational. I was just making a comment. I think Mr. Dole, Miss Dole, has been around. She was a 100% back when I was a little boy. It's been a long time. So,
they're up
long,
there. Long still time. Working.
West Roanoke Missionary Baptist Church promotional ad.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Bazemore had indicated that we share this with the commissioners. The Baptist Association is looking for sponsorships for an upcoming fellowship event. You have letters from Reverend David Moore and also Reverend Futro. And the top honor is $100 for a donation of support for this event. And the event is September 21st.
I liked it because it encompassed quite a few churches in this area, the Roanoke Missionary Association. And we always look for ministers and pastors to support us. I would hope we would take a $100 aid instead.
We have a motion. Make a motion.
I move to do an ad for the West Roanoke Association.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Voting Delegate 2019 NCACC Annual Conference. Mr. Weston, you going to that?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to be a voting delegate?
Pleasure to be board.
How's it
going?
How's it
going? It's good.
Okay. Is that good? Okay.
Thank you.
Review September 3rd agenda draft report of impassable roads. Mr. Manager.
Just looking forward, it's the last page of your agenda package. The staff have rated the identified roads of concern and have put down the high criteria for the roads for you all to discuss at your meeting on September 3rd. Just flagging that for your advance attention.
Other items, next work session is scheduled for September 16th. And the agenda will include Tall Glass Water Site Development Planning, Animal Shelter Renovation Plans, Review Status of Other Projects in Progress.
And based on today's work session, you'll be doing the site development for Tall Glass of Water on the 27th of August, 10 a.m. So okay. We've advanced the schedule.
Okay. Have we started to use the credit card for the water department yet? Because I was talking with some people at pay.gov and they will give us the machine and everything else free. Okay, because I think it would be good because a lot of us don't carry cash now. Then my second piece, what happened to the movement down at Blue Jays? I mean, where are we? When will we start back? I'm ready to see something happen.
I'll have to rely on Mr. Rasko to give us a report at your next meeting.
He's not. That's all I have.
It's okay. Ms. Lee?
Yeah, as I said earlier, we went to Clark County, three of us, last month, and it was a great conference. It's always good to see commissioners from all over the United States and network with them and see what's, we've already started implementing some things that Commissioner Wesson brought back, which is, you know, anyways, you just can't put the value on the whole networking, but some of the sessions were absolutely great. The exhibitors, I brought back material and distributed amongst the staff that I brought the material back to, so that was great. And I've emailed some stuff out that we're going to be looking into. So thank you for the opportunity to go and learn and be a part of all that. And of course, the Elizabeth Dole Foundation dinner was a part of that week or a few days that we spent. So thank you once again.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I wanted the public to know that, you know, I, as I mentioned once before, I have accepted the governor's appointment to the Martin Community College. And the reason I was asked is to really to represent the citizens of Bertie as a part of their interaction with our facility and Martin, right? So we are open to any and all suggestions, whether it's curriculum, whether it's ideas, any suggestions you have. I have been pushing for more vocational, hard skill, vocational kind of training. A lot of what we've kind of migrated to is more like college prep kind of work, and that's good for those who pursue that direction. But a lot of the jobs, high-paying jobs that are available in this area require some skilled technical labor. And so I am a strong proponent of that, and we'll be pushing for that. I'm also going to be the vice chair of the new selection committee for the new president of the community college. And I'm going to be searching for someone who shares that vision. We need real skill training and labor, is my opinion, in terms of high priority. I think we have an opportunity, as Commissioner Lee says, at any of the sessions that we go to, and I'm looking forward to the North Carolina session because, you know, we see a lot of things that are working in other counties, and we don't always have to reinvent the wheel. If it's working someplace else, maybe it can work here. But we also get to show them and tell them a lot about a lot of the things that are happening in Bertie County. And I assure you, people are paying attention. The chairman said so earlier, are paying attention to the progress that we've had in Bertie County. And that makes you feel awful good when people are asking us how we did this and how we opened the beach and how we did other things. So we're very proud of that, and we want to carry that message to others.
Thank you. Ms. Blake, do you have something else?
Yes, I attended the swearing in for our new superintendent, Dr. Otis Smallwood. And I know they will be coming to us with a concern, and I guess it's countywide now. They are missing supplements. We don't offer supplements. So what teachers are doing, they're leaving. And I think since the end of this year, maybe I would say at least about 9 or 10 have left. So we really need to think about what can we do.
But I went to a family reunion this weekend. I have a cousin that's in Jersey that's got her master's, the early child. She's willing to come down here and work at Bertie if she's willing to give a chance. She done put an application and everything in. So just saw her open. She said she just willing to give him the chance. She teaches up there, she's a principal. And she just waiting to hear back from the child.
That would be a school board. That'd be a good thing.
Yeah.
Ms. Blake,
you're
going
to have anything
else?
Yep,
you're
willing to come back to work.
Ma'am.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, when we put that quarter cent sales tax back on the ballot, we need to push everyone, it takes everyone to do it this time, to make sure the teachers are getting what they need to get so we can keep some good teachers here in Bertie County. because the children are definitely our future.
Only four counties in the state of North Carolina don't offer supplements to teachers, and we're one of them. That's nothing to be proud of.
Okay. Remain comment section. Please. Come up to the podium, give us your name and your address.
Kiva Spotty Field Service, Mowat Drive, Elizabeth.
Yes, ma'am.
Like I said, I know people, I put in for substitute and second grade teacher. Like I said, we have people that's willing to come in. And there's also, we need the county to work with the teachers and we need the parents. Like I see, my daughter, thank God, graduated at 17, early college, is going to A&T as a junior. But like I said, not just the parents, we need the community to help. We need the people to help the teachers. And a lot of parents is not doing it for their kids. And a lot of teachers say if the parents not doing it, they're not going to do it. And I feel like that's not right. So like I said, we need help. We need Santa's to spur and perk everybody up to come and want to do it. Like I said, the kids are willing to do it. Like I said, I went to school in New York. And if you want to be an auto mechanic, you have school for auto mechanic. You want to be a nurse, you have high school for auto mechanic, nursing. You want pre-law, you have certain schools. Like I said, everybody's not built to go to college. If you put in like welding in a high school, teaching or carpentry, like them children have the option to take that. Right now, see, the regular high school is basically falling down. And I felt it was a disgrace when they took valedictorian and salutatorian. My daughter was up for valedictorian. And I felt like all this hard work we put into her, they make them feel like you telling them that's not a part of being good. You tell them you expect them to do bad. But if you keep that motivation of being valedictorian and salutatorian, that will get a motivation, I ain't say competition, but get them something to look forward to. And they said, well, we ain't got this, we ain't got that, don't need to do it. But like I said, I feel like education is a strong priority right now in Berthier County. And like I said, if you don't like the community, I believe by the old African proverb, take a village to raise a child. And if we got the teachers, the police officers, the county commissioners, the people at the local stores helping out, like doing donations, every parent can't go out and buy school supplies and clothes, like had Goodwill donating uniforms. And give, when I come, PTA was for the kids. It wasn't for the kids, the teachers' lunches, or treat them. The PTA was for the kids that couldn't take a bath at home. See why they couldn't take a bath at home. Why they would come to school dirty. Why their parents' lights is off. That was, I was, in my life growing up, that's why it made me motivated so much to be a school teacher.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else in the minute comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session. Mr. Manager, what's the statute we're going to be using?
GS 143-318-11-A4 for the purpose of economic development.
Okay. Got a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're going into closed session for actual economics. Everybody can leave except for the people that are involved with us in economics. Closed session.